Hello friends, here I will take you on an international level. We will see what actually is International Chamber of Commerce. International Chamber of Commerce is a large body of businessmen from different lines, different countries who are all experts in their fields, and they have got together in this Chamber of Commerce to bring out certain factors which will give a set of rules and conditions to conduct their business on an international level. Friends, now let us look at the topics being covered under Chapter 9. Here we will look at ICC's role in international business. Most important, we will look at the new Incoterms 2022, which has come into existence last year. And we will look at the documentary credit method and the uniform customs and practices, that is UCP 600, applicable to the documentary credit. This is all given to us by ICC, International Chamber of Commerce. And ultimately, we look to the operation of World Chamber Federation. ICC basically provides a forum for business and other organizations to examine and better comprehend the nature and significance of the major shifts taking place in the world economy. As I told you, they are a group of well-experienced businessmen, and best of brains are available. They are also influential and respected channel for supplying business leadership to help the governments manage those shifts taking place in a world economy in a collaborative manner for the benefit of the world economy as a whole. They have got three main activities: rule setting, dispute resolution, and policy advocacy. ICC also supports the work of United Nations and World Trade Organization. What are the aims? Promote worldwide scale the settlement of international disputes. Yes, any business, we are bound to have certain disputes coming up. Here, ICC is the forum for giving a settlement basis by means of arbitration, mediation, their expertise. They have dispute boards and other forms of dispute resolutions. They also provide guidance on a large range of topics of current relevance to the world of international dispute resolution with a view to improving the dispute resolution services. And they have created a link amongst the arbitrators in all the countries, their councils and users, to enable dispute resolution to respond effectively to the users' needs. Most important factor is ICC has created trade tools. These are certain rules which are not enacted by any government. No. They are rules prepared by ICC business community for their own businessmen to follow. You don't have the state entering the picture or any country government entering the picture. They are self-regulated tools, rules prepared by ICC. One of the biggest is the Incoterms. There are rules of common terms used in contracts for the international trade. You and me, we are using it every day, time in, day in and day out on each and every consignment of import and export. Yes, when I do regulatory functions, then I'll explain to you more on this issue. Then you have uniform customs and practices for documentary credit. Publication number 600 applies to all letter of credit, LCs or documentary credits, which the importers and exporters use. Then there are rules of arbitration, mediation rules. Then there is a model contract and clauses developed by ICC, where the importers and exporters or business to business, they can enter into such contracting. And today it has developed into electronic contracting, that is e-terms of 2004 and connected guide to e-contracting. Currently they are reviewing the rules for expertise and the dispute board rules. ICC also has got a commercial crime services. They provide the world business community with a centralized commercial crime fighting body. Two basic principles: one, prevent commercial crime, and two, investigate and help prosecute criminals involved in commercial crimes. There are specialized divisions: International Maritime Bureau, Financial Investigation Bureau, Counterfeiting Intelligence Bureau, and most important is the Fraud Net. They have developed a world trade agenda. It's a business-led initiative to bolster rules-based trading. It aims to define multilateral trade, negotiating priorities for business, help governments to set a trade policy agenda for 21st century for all-around economic growth and job creation, to find answers to the present economic crisis and drive more effective trade talks, set concrete recommendations to advance global trade negotiations, and most important, sound the alarm on protectionism. They gather input and validation from global business community on trade agenda, priorities and recommendations for achieving a Doha victory. Doha conference, I will explain to you when we go to the chapter of World Trade Organization. They have a model contracts and clauses commission on CLP. They have developed model contracts which gives parties a neutral framework for their contractual relationship. Drafted by experts of the commission without any bias on any particular legal system. Why? Because they aim to provide a sound legal basis upon which parties to international contracts can quickly establish an even-handed agreement acceptable to both the parties. That is where you can do business smoothly. These contracts are products of some of the finest legal brains in the world of international commercial law. And they are constructed to protect interests of all parties concerned under a single framework. Incoterms, yes, for you and me, anybody in import and export, this is one of the most important rules. They are nothing but international commercial terms of trade. They spell out in clear terms the point at which risk is passed on from seller to buyer, cost of transportation and insurance is passed to or from the seller to buyer, at which point rights and obligations are passed on from the seller to the buyer, at which point. They do not cover transfer of ownership and property rights. They do not cover terms of contract of transportation and insurance. And they do not cover consequences of any breach of contract of sale. These are out of the coverage of Incoterms. Now, the new set of Incoterms 2022 has brought out a new set of definitions. And each point is being explained very clearly through these definitions. Let us look at those definitions step by step. First is delivery. That is the point of the transaction at which the risk of any loss or damage to the commodity is transferred from the seller to the buyer. It is always in quote terms will show between seller and the buyer. Arrival. What is the definition? The point stated within an in quote term at which the carriage has been paid, up to the point up to the which freight has been paid. Free, where the seller has the obligation to deliver the commodity to a named place for transfer to a carrier. This is the meaning of free. Carrier, what is the definition of a carrier? A carrier is any person who undertakes the execution of transport by rail, road, ship, or air, or even inland waterway, or any combination of the said transportation modes within a contract of carriage. Freight forwarder definition is an institution that makes or assists in the shipping arrangement. What's a terminal? Definition of a terminal. Regardless of the covering, a terminal is any place such as a dock, a warehouse, container yard, container road, rail, or air cargo terminal. To clear for export. Now, these are points which are given in the respective Incoterms. So that is why explanation in the form of definitions are being given. To clear for export means the filing of the shipper's export declaration and getting an export permit. We in India, we file a declaration under the shipping bill for export and get export clearance by obtaining let export order LEO. So that is the meaning of to clear for export. Let us look at each one of the Incoterms separately now. EXW, X works, means it is, previously it was only from the factory. Now even warehouses are covered. Here you have to insert the place of delivery, point at which the seller will give. The seller delivers the cargo, container full of goods, okay, to the buyer at his warehouse, in which the responsibility of packaging lies with the seller. We are looking at seller and buyer. Packaging is definitely for the seller. And all subsequent responsibility have to be handed over to the buyer. That means up to the point of the seller's warehouse or factory, packaging level, and handing over to the container. We look at FCA, free carrier. Here, insert the name, place of delivery to the carrier. Okay. In this type of term, the goods seller is responsible. That means the seller is responsible for delivery of the goods at a specified destination. In this, the seller is originally responsible for all export details, export-related activities. And the buyer is responsible for destination operations and select the origin operations. Up to the type of export formality, yes, seller is responsible. Beyond that, it is the buyer. CPT carriage pay 2. Here, you have got to insert the place of destination up to which you will pay the freight. Under this, the seller pays for the carriage of goods to a place, up to a place, which has been named in the document. Goods are considered delivered only when the goods are first handed over to the main carrier so that the risk is transferred to the buyer of that carrier in placement in the country of export. Risk passing is at this point. CIP, carriage and insurance paid to. The first one was freight paid to. Now it is insurance paid to. And also the freight. Here you have got to insert the place of destination. The place also has to be mentioned in this. After that, the responsibility of the seller is only up to that place as far as insurance is concerned. DAP delivered at place. You have got to insert the named place of destination. Under this clause, all responsibility lies with the seller. The buyer has to pay only duty and taxes of his country. Suppose the buyer has chosen some other port instead of choosing the delivery place of his warehouse, then the buyer will take the responsibility only from there in case he decides to take a different routing. DPU, delivered at place unloaded. That means unloading point may be different from the place of delivery. Here you have got to name, insert the place of destination. It is mandatory to know the name of the place. That is the place of delivery, where the seller has to unload the cargo. The seller is required to deliver the goods to the buyer's address after the request has been made by the inbound mode of transport. This is a clause where added new. DDP, delivered duty paid. This means that the responsibility of the seller is right from his factory or warehouse up to the final destination where the destination has got to be inserted. In this term, the seller has to pay all the duties and taxes, including his country, including the buyer's country. But at the time of final unloading, only the buyer has to pay. These Incoterms are used by those who have an office in the buyer's country so that they can handle things easily to their customers over there. That means the exporter should have some link in the importer's country so that he can handle this factor properly. properly. Otherwise, DDP he cannot touch. FAS is free alongside ship. This term is used only for bulk cargo. That is, it is not used for containerized cargo at all. FOB, free on board, normal, same as previously. Again, here, you have got to insert the named port of loading. Free alongside ship, insert name of port of loading. In this, the responsibility of ocean freight and insurance lies with the seller, not the buyer. Buyer is not responsible. And the delivery point of the seller is also known. Seller will say, I want it to be delivered at this particular point, and therefore FOB, you have got to name, insert the named port. CFR means cost and freight. Insert the named port of destination. In this, the seller will have to pay freight up to the port of the country. The responsibility of insurance of cargo in CFR is not that of the seller. It is the responsibility of the buyer. Seller has got to only pay cost of his goods and the freight up to the named port of destination. CIF, this is again a totality covering cost of the goods, insurance for the goods, and freight up to the named port of destination. And here, port of destination has got to be named in the document. In this, the responsibility of insurance lies with the seller, not the buyer. And the buyer has to take responsibility of unloading at his point of destination. That is the buyer's responsibility. Seller's responsibility is to load the cargo over here, all cost incurred, insure the cargo, and pay freight for the cargo. Letters of credit, LCs or documentary credits, which are being executed. Nowadays, the choice of Incoterm is a limiting factor as far as LCs are concerned. LCs are used where there is a limited trust between the seller and the buyer. And this credit sale release funds when the seller provides several documents to the bank, including the bill of lading or airway bill. These are named documents in the documentary credit. That rules out Ex Works totally, because the supplier will be paid before pickup of the cargo. So this is not applicable to Ex Works. F terms require trust, because if the buyer cancels the international transit, the supplier won't have a bill of lading to present to the bank. And D terms of Incoterms requires trust between the seller, because seller is bearing all of the transport loss. And that leaves only the four C terms as the best option to use with a letter of credit. This is a limiting factor of the Incoterms as far as LCs and documentary credits are concerned. The next important rule or document is documentary credit or LC or letter of credit. It is a conditional undertaking of payment given by a bank, that is the buyer's bank, to the seller's bank. It is issued on behalf of the importer applicant and to the exporter of goods or beneficiary to pay for goods or services, provided the documents submitted conform to terms and conditions mentioned in the documentary credit. This is the most agreed method of settlement of payment for international trade. Banks reimburse the seller against presentation of documents drawn in compliance with conditions stipulated in the documentary credit by the buyer. Here there are certain conditions as far as documentary credits are concerned. The banks are in no way concerned with the terms of the sales contract or export contract entered between the buyers and sellers. Banks will only deal with documents and the performances as per the terms and conditions mentioned in the documentary credit. These are advantages to both buyer and seller when settlement is arranged by such documentary credits. Why? Because the buyer knows the payment will be made to the seller only if documents are received which comply strictly with the terms of and conditions of the credit as stipulated by him and as certified by the bank. Second, seller knows that if he gives the proper document as required under the terms and conditions of the credit to the bank, he gets his payment. There are different types of credit, documentary credits. But most important are only the first three as far as your day-to-day import-export is concerned. A revocable credit, a confirmed irrevocable credit. And all documentary credits are subject to provisions of Uniform Customs and Practices of ICC Brochure number 600. Let's try to understand the first three, which are more important for you. What is a revocable credit? It is one which can be amended or cancelled at any time without prior notice or warning by to the seller. Buyer has opened it. He can revoke it any time without informing you, the seller. Therefore, it involves risks to the beneficiary as the credit may be amended or cancelled while the goods are in transit and before documents are presented to the bank. The seller of the goods will face a problem on this issue. But this gives the buyer maximum flexibility to do his wish. Seller will say no. Seller can say no, I don't want this. Next is confirmed irrevocable credit. That is, irrevocable credit is a credit which cannot be revoked by the buyer. Once the credit has been issued, it is irrevocable credit. No, buyer cannot revoke it under any condition. So, seller has got a greater comfort of payment, but only it depends on the undertaking of the bank abroad. And again, when the terms of the credit are strictly adhered to by the exporter. The banks over here in India, your bank as an exporter has got to rely on the bank mentioned in the documentary credit. If it's a foreign bank, he may not be knowing. Therefore, the exporter can ask for a confirmation on the irrevocable documentary credit by a local bank. The advising bank will be a confirmation on the irrevocable documentary credit, certifying yes, this bank who has issued this credit is genuine and it is valid. A confirmed irrevocable credit gives the seller a double assurance of payment, since the bank
in his own country has added an undertaking in addition to that of the issuing bank to pay the documents drawn under the credit. Then transferable credits have got different functions for different purposes, especially where you have third-party exports or where you have got large projects involved. Back-to-back credits also similar, different purposes. These are not used on a day-to-day basis by normal import and export, etc., etc. Revolving credit also is a multiple type of credit. Export one consignment, you get an addition, etc. Red clause credits have got certain additional clause which are a little bit difficult for transferring the same. Green clause credit is a more open credit, but these are all having via media functions. What you as importer and exporter, for your normal import and export, you need either one of the first three documentary credits only. UCP, Uniform Customs and Practices, issued by ICC, is a very important document. Of course, you need not read all these articles of UCP. They are to be followed by the respective banks who are dealing with the documentary creditors. They have got to follow this, and basically the various articles spread out the explanations clarifying the performance requirements for the banks for each of the respective clauses, including the individual words. I'll give you some of the examples of definitions. Advising bank means the bank which advises the credit at the request of the issuing bank. Applicant means the party in whose request the credit is issued, that is the buyer. Banking day means the day on which a bank is regularly working at the place. Beneficiary means the beneficiary who is named in the credit, that means the importer, that is the exporter, sorry. Exporter will become the beneficiary over here. Complying presentation means what are the terms and conditions required for complying with various aspects. Confirmation means definite undertaking by a confirming bank in addition to that of the issuing bank to honor or negotiate a complying presentation. In confirming bank means a bank that only adds its confirmation to a credit. It is neither an issuing bank nor a settlement bank. It's only authorization. Credit means the arrangement named or described that is irrevocable and thereby constitutes a definite undertaking of the issuing bank to honor a complying presentation. Honor means to pay at site if the credit is available by site payment, or to incur a deferred payment undertaking and pay at maturity if the credit is available by deferred payment, or to accept a bill of exchange, that is the draft drawn by the beneficiary, and pay at maturity if the credit is available by acceptance. Issuing bank means the bank that issues a credit at the request of an applicant on its own behalf, that is the buyer bank is the issuing bank. Negotiation means the purchase by the nominated bank of drafts drawn. Now drafts are documents, bank related interbank documents. Invoices are documents from the seller to the buyer, and drafts are documents from the seller's bank to the buyer's bank. Complying conditions of presentation, etc. Nominated bank means the bank which has been nominated, where credit is available. Presentation means delivery of documents under the documentary credit. Presenter means the beneficiary on whose behalf the documents are being presented for negotiation under credits. ICC has also prepared a set of e-terms 2004 for electronic contracting purposes, especially export contracts which you want to enter into for your trade. This has been designed for certain legal certainties of the contracts. Mind you, these are not the actual contract. It does not give you the contract. Contract terms and conditions you have got to put in your own. This is only a format of a well documented legal export contract which you enter by electronic means. One, they are easy to incorporate into your contracts, which makes it very clear that you and your counterparty intend to agree to a binding electronic contract. They do not affect the subject matter of your contract, that is between the buyer and seller or importer and exporter, and the e-terms do not interfere with them. They only facilitate the procedure and use of electronic means. And it can be used only if you are using electronic means of export or sale contract. Again, I'm stressing here once more. This is only a framework of what a legal export contract should include. The respective terms between buyer and seller has got to be decided only between the buyer and seller. E-terms does not interfere or enter the picture at that stage. It's only a format of e-terms, e-contracting, electronic contracting. Within the ICC group, there is a World Chambers Federation. And this federation has got more than 12,000 chambers of commerce and industries from majority of the countries. They are all non-political, non-government body, and memberships are comprising of local, regional, national, bilateral chamber of commerce, etc., etc. For example, from in India, you have got various chamber of commerce. Indian Merchant Chamber, you have got CII, you have got FIO, Federation of Import-Export Organizations, and you got so many other chambers of commerce in India. Majority of the large chamber of commerce have got into a membership of the World Chambers Federation. The main aim is to facilitate exchange of best practices and develop new global products and services for the chambers, not for export-export, for the chambers, and they foster international partnerships between the respective chambers of one country with the other country. Every 2 years, they organize a World Chambers Congress in different regions of the world. It is only an international forum for chamber leaders and professionals to share their experiences, their best practices, methods, exchanging insights, developing networks, and address the latest business issues affecting their communities. That is the objective of the World Chambers Federation. Thank you.